My wife and I were thinking of what to do for the mothers, and my first thought was buy a couple of flats of flowers. And I know some of you would love that. Some of you are really good with that. But we had trouble giving away, 10 or 12 orchids. And we thought maybe that's not the thing for our ladies right now. And I actually mentioned at the deacon board meeting, Jerry said, well, you can get those really nice bookmarks. And I thought, well, that's personal, and you could use that. And so it just sounded cheap. And here's a block of things, pass them out among yourselves. I don't know. Anyway, yesterday my son texted my wife, and he is in the music ministry up north of Detroit, and he said, I remember your favorite hymn was, and he told her, and he said, is that still true? And so on. She said, well, I have three, and she mentioned Great Is Thy Faithfulness, Beneath the Cross of Jesus, and When We All Get to Heaven as her three favorites currently. And that's when it was born in my thinking that I could give to the mothers an opportunity to share a song that they love, and we could sing it for them. And so that was your gift. It didn't cost me any money, but it cost me a lot of time. So now I have my job to do, and I turn your attention back to the topic of the lion and the lamb. The lion and the lamb. And we read our verse in Revelation 5 and 6, where he says, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, in verse 6, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb that had been slain. Always interesting concept, these differing views of Jesus Christ, and yet all one being. By way of introduction, Jonathan Edwards, great American preacher, said this and been quoted many times. There is an admirable conjunction of diverse excellencies in Jesus Christ. We don't talk like that anymore, but an admirable conjunction, just an intersection of diverse excellencies in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12:3 says, for consider him, think about him, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. I was thinking of this verse because the word contradiction is literally a saying against, and it means opposition. Christ faced opposition in his work that he did to save lost people. I want to share with you then, first of all, just a series of diverse excellencies. And those who know me will understand I've come up with seven. But we just want to talk about them. And this is, I'm tossing out seed into your hearts and minds for you to let them grow and think about it. If there is a connection to Mother's Day, it is this, that what we're talking about with Jesus Christ is true of most good mothers. In the book of Proverbs, it says that the virtuous woman is beyond price. The virtuous woman. The word virtuous, however, in the Hebrew means manifold, manyfold. You take a piece of paper and fold it and fold it and fold it, accordion fold, and it has many parts to it. A woman of many talents, virtues, tasks, multitasking, all these wonderful things. And diverse things. You think of the strength of a mother and the gentleness of a mother. The tenderness, the forgiveness, the judgment of a mother. And in this is reflected to her children the work of Christ to us as well. Diverse excellencies. Psalm 96:6. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Let it strike you that we often don't see strength and beauty combined. We find something strong is kind of ugly. Big, strong, ugly man buildings, rugged mountains. There is a beauty to mountains, but beauty, we think of, delicate orchids, whatever. But here, strength and beauty, diverse excellencies combined in him. Hosea 2:16, I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness. Then notice, in judgment, in loving kindness, and in mercies. Now, if you think about judgment and mercies, they almost seem opposites. And yet in him, the diverse excellencies are conjoined. We see this actually magnified in a couple of verses in the New Testament, meek and lowly and judge of the world. Matthew 11, 28-29, Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me. The picture of a double yoke. And the older, the wiser, the more experienced yoke puller on one side, we the novice there. He says, that's my yoke, take it on you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. This is him telling you what he's like. And yet, in Acts 17, Paul's preaching, because he, God the Father, hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. And how will he judge the world? How will God the Father judge the world? By that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Christ is the judge of all the last judgments. At the great white throne judgment, it will be Jesus Christ who sits in judgment upon those who have rejected him as personal Savior. Then in John 1, 14 and 17, we have twice used two words. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of, as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace, I said just the other day, sometimes we get so gracious we don't deal with the truth, you know. Well, we just be gracious, let him go, you know. And sometimes we get so truthful, we lose all our grace, you know. Well, you're this and you're that, and I'm just calling a spade, and telling it like it is. And so, but here he is, full of grace, full of truth, all combined, diverse excellencies. In Acts 3:15, the opposition for sinners, you killed the prince or author of life. What a contradiction. The author, the very author of life, the source of life, and men killed him. In 1 Peter 3:18, put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Actually, two diverse things here. Put to death, quickened to life. Put to death in the flesh, quickened in the Spirit. And then 2 Corinthians 13:3 and 4. He is not weak in dealing with you, but is powerful among you. For to be sure, he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by God's power. We see his crucifixion and his resurrection. We see crucified in weakness, but living in power. Now, interesting to bring these together, but these are not separate categories as if he were in one and leaves it to step into the other. This is not a person who alternates between these. He is all in all. He is both and, not either or, you see. Colossians 2:9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so diverse excellencies, yes, diverse, yet joined. His mercy and love taken to an infinite degree. His absolute wrath against sin in judgment taken to an absolute degree. And put them together as well as you can. This is our Lord Jesus Christ. But in the second part of the message, let me just share with you the lion and the lamb thoughts from this part of the book of the Revelation. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, Revelation 5:5, The elder says to him, "Weep not, behold, the lion, behold, look at, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." I think the evidence from Daniel, from Revelation, is that this scroll represents something like the title deed to planet Earth. And no man was qualified to be the king, to be the ruler under God, except for Jesus Christ. And so he comes, having accomplished what he accomplished, and receives that. The opening, then, of the seals, we go through the tribulation period and the vile things that happened there. But at the end, the kingdom comes in, and he rules and reigns. I believe that this is a reference back to the prophecy in Genesis, Genesis 49, 9 and 10. Judah, speaking of the son of Jacob, Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, couched as a lion. They say couched instead of crouched. We've come to say crouched now. He crouched as a lion, as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? The scepter, this is the thing that the king holds, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, till Shiloh come, and unto him shall be the gathering of the people. The gathering of the people shall be. Kingship from the line of Judah. Rulership. And he is called a lion, crouched as a lion. This is a lion that threatens. And as an old lion. I was looking up the word old lion, because that sounds like, I used to be a good one, you know. But no, that's not what it is. It does not indicate feebleness of age. In three other verses, the exact same word is translated differently. It's translated great lion. That's what it meant. Not a cub, but an adult lion. Here are the verses. Numbers 23, 24, behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion. Numbers 24, 9, he couched or crouched. He lay down as a lion, as a great lion. Same word. And then in Joel 1, for a nation has come upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, hath cheek teeth of a great lion. So this is the reference back to Judah, who would be the tribe of the kings. From Judah came David, and of David came the Lord Jesus Christ. He then is that lion of the tribe of Judah. I went to my old friend John Gill, lived a generation before Spurgeon, and I just wondered what he had to say about this thing. Here's what he said. Christ may be compared to a great lion, one because of his great strength, he being the mighty God, the able Savior, the strong Redeemer and protector of his church and people, and the avenger of their enemies. And two, because of his courage, intrepidity. I don't know the word, intrepidity. When he engaged with Satan and his principalities and powers, when he bore the sins of his people, sustained his father's wrath, and the terrors of death set themselves in array against him. And three, because of the fierceness of his wrath and fury against the wicked, and for his generosity and lenity toward those that stoop unto him and obey him. Albert Barnes says, the lion is the king of beasts, the monarch of the forest, and thus becomes an emblem of one of kingly authority and of power. John Trapp, ancient commentator, number one, for the excellence of his strength, number two, for his heroical spirit, number three, for his principality being head, the lion is the king of the beasts, number four, for his vigilancy, the lion sleepeth with open eyes, he quotes from Gerard. So he looks for the lion, the great lion, the adult lion, the ferocious lion. And John sees a lamb. In fact, the lamb slain. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain. Having seven horns, seven eyes, seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. A strange, nearly monstrous looking thing. John, being in the Spirit, seeing things of the Spirit, basically says, yeah, that's what it looked like. I think when you're in the spirit realm, you can look like anything you want. You can tell who people are just by seeing them. People say, well, we recognize each other in heaven. Yeah, we don't have to go through carnal intelligence and memory, you know. Wouldn't it be great if when you get to heaven that you won't have to worry about faulty, memory. Yeah. Guy said to his friend, how's the memory classes going? He says, well, it's working out pretty well. He says, where are you taking me? He says, what's the name of that flower? It's red, smells real good. He says, rose? He says, yeah. Rose, what's the name of that memory place we're going to? There, you don't have to worry about memory. In fact, it's not going through physical eyes, going into a physical brain. It's perceiving spirit to spirit. John saw this being looked like a lamb that had been slain with seven horns, full of eyes. Oh, goodness. I mean, I've seen monsters that, you know, on the movies that didn't look that bad. And he's saying, that's my Jesus. Lamb, the normal word for lamb or sheep in the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance is number 704, arein, the Greek word. The word used here adds a suffix, it's Strong's 721, arnion, I-O-N on the end. This is a diminutive ending, like R-E-T-T-E. You have a cigar, you have a cigarette, you know. You have a sermon. This is a sermonette. This is a shortened version, diminutive sermon. This means I was expecting the big, tough, big-horned ram lamb, you know, from the Dodge commercial, the big, tough one. This is a little pet lamb that he sees. This is the little lamb that was taken in and his throat was cut for the Passover. Slain, the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament says this. In Revelation 5, 6, 9, 12, and 13, 8, Jesus is, the word slain here, the slaughtered lamb. With a probable reference to the Passover. This term, in figurative paradox, denotes the extreme nature of the offering and its victorious effect. With the Passover, the lamb dies, the people live. Jesus is the lion slain as a lamb, and a very lion-like lamb. Let me close with two verses. Revelation 6:16. Notice the reference to the lamb. The people are crying out, said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. The little pet lamb is coming after me. Please, rocks, cover me up. Crush me down. Revelation 17:14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and what will happen? And the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. This is a very kingly lamb. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful, he says, of you. He is a manifold being, a conjunction of diverse excellencies. He is the lamb and the lion. Let's honor him, recognizing we we barely glimpse the enormity of his character and of his ability until we examine them from all different sides. Let's bow for closing prayer. Father, you give to us an opportunity to understand your truth, to see Christ not in one single view, but in, as it were, opposing views, alternating views. The view of black and white, the light of light and darkness, we see him as he really is, given to us as a picture of diverse excellencies, as the lion and yet the lamb. For in dying he conquered, in yielding he overcame. Father, help us to learn that that is our goal, to be like Christ, that we cannot hold on to self and self-love and self-interest and succeed. We have to yield. We have to bow. We have to give. We have to give up on ourselves. We have to deny self and what self wants and what self loves, and look out to love you first, and then to love others before self. And in doing so, we yield and win. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder if you would say, Pastor, I need to learn the things of Christ. I need to bring within me some of his diverse excellencies. I need to be strong, even as he was strong, by yielding as he yielded. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? Amen. Amen. Yes. Father, then we thank you that we can turn to you and get the strength that we need, for you are an ever-present help in time of need, that we can come even now to your throne of grace by prayer and receive mercy, that we might grow in faith, we might grow in grace. Oh, Father, help us then to set out this day remembering to honor our mothers, and yet, most of all, honoring our Lord Jesus Christ, diverse in his excellencies. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.